Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 87 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Holly McClurkin.
Our role is to protect people's rights, First Amendment rights, constitutionally. If we see violence or we see an assault occur, we will make an arrest.
Police in Lexington say they are ready if white supremacists rally in their city.
Governor Matt Bevin says he's against removing Confederate statues around the state.
An Eastern Kentucky soldier is missing after a helicopter crash in Hawaii.
In sports, the Reds play tonight in Chicago. Game time is 8:05.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Isolated thunderstorms are expected tonight with lows in the low 70s. Stay tuned for your extended weather forecast after this news.
Authorities are preparing for a possible white nationalist rally in Lexington. Mayor Jim Gray is pushing to relocate two Confederate statues in the wake of Saturday's deadly attack in Charlottesville, Virginia. If that happens, Gray and Chief of Police Mark Barnard are sending the clear message that they will be ready.
We haven't had any confirmation of that. We've all read the internet stuff that everybody else has, but we have not been contacted with anyone. So we have been discussing it. We have been working with other partners. As it gets closer and we get developed plans, we'll have those solidified soon.
Gray says his officers are some of the best in the country and serve as an example for other police departments across the country.
Pastors and civic leaders in Ashland are hosting a vigil in Central Park tonight to promote unity. That's according to the Daily Independent. The recent protest in Charlottesville, Virginia, resulted in the death of a 32-year-old woman last week. Concern about violent outbreaks is bringing a community leaders together to help spread peaceful messages of nonviolence. The Reverend Stanley McDonald, the pastors of the Ashland Area Ministerial Association, and the Ashland Human Rights Commission will be speaking. The vigil will start at 6 p.m.
Governor Matt Bevin says he opposes the removal of Confederate statues around the state. Ed Huckleberry has more.
The governor says Confederate monuments should remain where they are.
I absolutely disagree with this sanitization of history. If we want to learn from history, if we don't want to repeat the mistakes of our past, then we better teach it to our young people.
Bevin, speaking to WVHU Radio, says Confederate monuments should be used to educate young people of the mistakes of our past. I'm Ed Huckleberry.
An Eastern Kentucky native is among five crew members still missing after an Army Black Hawk helicopter crashed off the coast of Hawaii overnight. The family of Letcher County native Abigail Malam was informed this morning that she was aboard the helicopter when it went down. Army officials lost contact with the helicopter during a nighttime training exercise around 10 p.m. Hawaii time. Malam is a 2001 graduate of Fleming Neon High School and studied at Southeast Kentucky Community and Technical College prior to joining the Army. The Associated Press spoke to Army officials who say search and rescue crews began combing the waters immediately after the aircrew lost contact and continue their search this afternoon.
Mazda is recalling nearly 80,000 cars and SUVs, some for a second time, to replace dangerous Takata airbag inflators. The recall covers front passenger inflators on certain 2007 through 2012 CX-7, CX-9, and Mazda 6 vehicles. The recalls vary by state and age of the vehicles. Takata inflators can explode with too much force and hurl shrapnel into drivers and passengers. As many as 19 people have been killed and more than 180 hurt due to the problem. The recall supersedes one issued in January that temporarily replaced older Takata inflators with the same parts. Ammonium nitrate used in the inflators can deteriorate over time. The company says new inflators are safer. In the latest recall, dealers will install permanent replacement inflators that don't use ammonium nitrate at no cost to the owner. For a full list of affected vehicles, visit MazdaUSA.com.
There were two shootings within minutes of each other in Lexington today. A salesman at Tri-City Auto told LEX 18 that he was showing a car to a customer when they noticed a man walking through the parking lot. A second man got out of a gray car in front of the dealership and was firing shots at the man they saw walking. In total, they heard about three shots. The man being shot at fled across New Circle Road, got into a car, and fled east. The shooter then drove west. Minutes later, shots were fired into a home on Colchester Drive. There have been no reports of anyone being injured by gunfire at either location.
Governor Matt Bevin has signed two new bills aimed at combating Kentucky's opioid epidemic. Paul Miles reports.
The legislation is welcomed by Amy Compton, a recovering drug addict.
By age 15, I had overdosed twice, and I was taken to Bellefonte Hospital in Greenup, Kentucky, where both times, by God's grace, my life was saved.
The measure prevents doctors from prescribing more than a three-day supply of opioid painkillers, with some exceptions. It also increases penalties for trafficking in fentanyl and carfentanil. I'm Paul Miles.
Water service in Ashland was restored this morning. That's according to city engineer Ryan Eastwood. Crews worked through the night to repair a break on 39th Street that left more than 5,000 residents without water. Eastwood says the number of breaks this month is average for this time of year.
We just happened to have two very, very public water breaks that, you know, right on our main streets or our highways. But, you know, I can't say that our frequency of breaks is up from last year this time or the year before this time.
Eastwood adds a boil water advisory is in effect through Friday for the city of Ashland. He expects schools to be back in session Thursday.
The combination of South Floyd High School and Allen Central High School has resulted in the brand new Floyd Central High School, where around 700 students start classes next Monday. JROTC instructor Brendan Ritchie tells WYMT the school is immaculate.
This is probably the best school in the state of Kentucky. Not just the technology that they have or just the building itself, but the teaching staff itself is just amazing.
The new campus will heavily incorporate technology as an instructional tool. Teachers say they hope to empower Floyd County students who feel that their future is limited by their zip code.
An East Carter High School student is now a Rogers Scholar. Brianna Bush completed the week-long program this summer, which allows students from Southern and Eastern Kentucky to build their leadership skills. Bush told the Grayson Journal-Enquirer the experience has opened her mind to what her future could hold. This year, 62 students experienced the program at Lindsey Wilson College in South Central Kentucky. More than 1,000 students have graduated from the program since it began in 1988.
A Corbin man faces a list of charges after kidnapping his girlfriend's infant son and threatening to kill him Tuesday night, according to a release from the Laurel County Sheriff's Office. WKYT reports that Charles Shore ran into some woods after choking his girlfriend and hitting her in the face. He eventually left the 7-month-old child in a ditch before neighbors found the child. The baby went to the hospital to be checked out, deputies said. They found Shores following a search that lasted more than 45 minutes. Neighbors spotted him just before the deputies did. Shores is charged with kidnapping, wanton endangerment, domestic violence, and resisting arrest. Shores also had three warrants out of Whitley County.
Yesterday, Governor Matt Bevin signed a bill aimed at protecting kids from abusive child care providers. Suzanne Duvall reports.
The new law would permit a parent or legal guardian to request a background check of the child abuse and neglect registry records when hiring a child care provider. Terry Brooks is director of Kentucky Youth Advocates.
We're going to make Kentucky the place that is safest for kids and worse for anyone who ever abuses one of God's children.
If a child care provider is found to have no history of abuse or neglect, the Cabinet for Health and Family Services would send on their findings in a letter. I'm Suzanne Duvall.
A three-year-long initiative to enact a restaurant tax was approved by the Grayson City Council during a special meeting last Friday. The tax has been under consideration by the Grayson Tourism and Convention Commission as an avenue to fund a proposed sports complex near East Carter Middle School. Grayson Mayor George Still says the new sports complex will be paid for by visitors to his town.
The restaurant tax could only be used for tourism activities. The city doesn't get this money. It goes to the tourism group. It's not a revenue that we'll have. It enables the Tourism Commission to fund activities that brings people into your city overnight, two nights, to spend their money in your city.
The current plan would allow the commission to begin collecting tax revenue on October 1st, with the first payment to the commission on November 15th. In the meantime, the park complex project will be bonded to be repaid by restaurant tax revenues. Steele estimates revenue to be more than $700,000 each year.
Moorhead Fire Chief Jeff Anderson remains hopeful his department will have a new ladder truck in about a year from now. City Council several months ago approved the purchase of a new ladder truck. Anderson says the MFD is in desperate need of a replacement for its current vehicle.
By the time we get a new truck, if everything goes smoothly, you know, our truck's going to be pushing 35 years of age. And even though from the outside it looks fairly good, it's just the mechanical side of it, is worn out. So it's time to replace it.
Anderson says that the current ladder truck often breaks down and finding replacement parts for it has become problematic. The city has budgeted $1.3 million for a new ladder truck and continues to study different methods for financing it.
The building of Rowan County's new $18 million detention center continues to push forward. The roof on the structure is now in place and its outside is being bricked. It's also being dried out on the inside so some painting can be done and the facility's HVAC system can be installed. Judge Executive Walter Blevins says the county recently received two more change orders for the project, with the first one mandating that two more security cameras be placed in the building.
A little more expensive than I like to pay for cameras, but one goes into the kitchen area and one goes into the lab area, I think they said, for a cost of about $5,531. That's just not for the cameras, but that's running the wires and putting them in a place where they don't get tampered with. That one, and there was another one for $833.
That money will be spent on some additional roofing clips. Rowan's new almost 300-bed detention center is expected to open in January.
A Cincinnati firm has begun the process of tightening up the city of Moorhead's zoning ordinances. The issue came to a head several months ago after a developer built a home that will eventually contain multiple rental occupants in a part of the town that is strictly designated as single-family housing. Some ambiguity in Moorhead's zoning statutes gave him the leeway to do that. Mayor Jim Tom Trent says the professionals looking to help update Moorhead's zoning laws are expected to issue a report with recommended adjustments to them to city councils sometime next spring.
Be it landlord-tenant law, be it how can this house be built here with this many rooms, all those things that have came up the last several months, that's on their list to address. Now, is it going to be perfect? No, but I do believe that it will be a much easier, clearer, and well-defined than it is now, and hopefully we can integrate some changes.
Trent says the Cincinnati firm is currently gathering opinions from residents of Moorhead about what changes they believe should be made to Moorhead zoning ordinances.
With the university students back on campus for the fall semester, Moorhead State's Police Department is focusing right now on doing some public relations. To that end, Chief Merle Harrison says his officers are attempting to be as visible as possible.
We want to develop the relationships with the students to, so if they have problems, they'll come to us. And we don't want their first interaction with us to be bad. We like for it to be positive. So we take all efforts to try to develop those relationships, try to break down the barriers and interact with the students as much as possible.
Harrison says it's important for his officers to develop a bond of trust with MSU students so that they'll come to them when they have a problem. As part of their PR campaign, Moorhead State Police are trying to be a little more lenient with parking and traffic law violators early in the semester.
Taking a look at your region's weather, tonight will be partly to mostly cloudy with a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms late at night with a low of 71. There will be scattered thunderstorms in the morning and mostly cloudy skies tomorrow evening with thunderstorms at night. High of 88 and a low of 72. Your local temperature for Moorhead is 87 degrees.
In our feature segment today, we have Neighbors, Adrian Swain's conversations with our diverse Appalachian community. Today we visit with Dr. Ahmed Hassan for the third time as he stresses the educational value of cultural diversity in the university environment and the dangers of cultural and religious stereotyping in our broader society.
There's a lot of misunderstanding about the entire Middle East and the people of the Middle East. And, you know, it's one thing to have an attitude towards a group of people, but when you meet an individual,
Yeah, I think one of the things that I bring to the classroom here is exposing our kids here in this region to other cultures. There is a difference between you reading about other culture. Of course, the best thing is to go there, physically fly and go other places, or bringing somebody like myself from overseas, even bringing other foreign students here to the classroom here, it does bring it closer to their mind. I teach business and management, and the global perspective is a very significant component right now in management and business literature. A business student needs, other than good grades and good education, two things: to have an internship. Second is to be exposed to other cultures. Fly and be present in other places, South America, Middle East, Europe. This is two important components as a business student would need to be successful in a business career. So I feel that my presence and others from overseas, it does help our business students with all the confusion, stereotyping that is going on these days about Arab and Muslims in general. Typically, people think that if you are Arab, you are Muslim, or if you are Muslim, you are Arab, which is not necessarily true. Right. In fact, Arabs accounts for, I think, 20% or so of the global Muslim population. In the last few years, I think it was this kind of stereotyping and lack of objective knowledge about the situation in the Middle East. Sometimes we feel there are some kind of bad attitude,
biased assumptions
that are made. Absolutely. Yeah. Assumptions that are not necessarily accurate about the Middle East, about Muslims. And sometimes the media, I feel quite honestly, the media is to be blamed. I understand that media always goes beyond providing facts. But if you give opinion, you should be objective and fair. For those kids who don't have background about the situation in the Middle East and they are fed, I would say, through the media, it may create some animosity, enmity, some grudges in the hearts without necessarily being founded based on truth. You cannot compete with nature here in Moorhead, the lake and the trees and the forest. When we go visit Egypt and come back, the first thing we feel it here, the clean air. Their cars 24/7 emitting huge emission. Really, the environment is very unhealthy, I would say. So this is one of the things that we enjoy here. Being quiet, clean, I would say very sustainable environment here. Yeah. And we've been blessed with some very nice friends here. I would like just to take the moment and thank those Moorheadians that been so nice. They went above and beyond, quite honestly, friendship. Whether Moorhead State University or the town itself, been so encouraging, quite honestly, welcoming, and it did make a difference in our decision to stay here in Moorhead.
Thank you very much for coming and talking to me today.
Thank you. I appreciate you giving me the chance to do so.
Born in Egypt, Dr. Hassan is an associate professor of management at Moorhead State University. It is 449 and 87 degrees here on the campus of Moorhead State University. I'm here with Holly McClurkin. My name's Leanne Akers, and we are glad to have you with us. Braxton Howard has sports in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from the Kentucky Folk Arts Center, presenting selected works by Bruce New, The Night is Only a Dream. On display through September 16th, the exhibition features more than 60 collages, drawings, and paintings by the Somerset artist. Open Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m.,
The Kentucky Folk Arts Center is a cultural, educational, and economic development service of Morehead State University. Located on First Street, adjacent to the Morehead Conference Center, visitors and tour groups are welcome. More information available by calling 606-783-2204.
Good afternoon with Morehead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. The Cincinnati Reds will play Game 3 of their four-game series in Chicago against the Cubs tonight at 8:05. The Reds beat the North Siders 2-1 last night behind starting pitcher Luis Castillo and three relievers. Manager Brian Price says that group deserves a lot of credit for silencing the Cubs' potent offense.
They don't run a whole lot of guys up there that aren't extremely reputable players. Very few guys that don't make you a little nervous when they're at the plate.
4-6 Homer Bailey will try to give the Reds another good start tonight. The Cubs will counter with 8-7 lefty John Lester. Scores from around baseball this afternoon, the Angels beat Washington 3-2. Miami beat San Francisco 8-1. Pittsburgh leads Milwaukee 5-4 in the seventh inning. Kansas City leads Oakland 1-0 in the third. Baltimore and Seattle are locked at 1 in the third as well, and Philly and San Diego are scoreless through four innings. The defensive coordinator for the Morehead State football team says his group is making progress after some changes were made last spring to its scheme. Zach Moore and head coach Rob Tenier have installed a simpler and more attacking style, which is designed to help MSU's defenders make big plays. Moore thinks the potential is there to make that happen.
We're a lot younger, but more athletic, which, you know, which is a good thing. But then, you know, there's no teacher-like experience, too. So those guys, a lot of them are going to be learning on the fly. And so we're going to have some things, you know, some high-risk, high-reward type situations. But you know, we need to get back to playing the way, you know, the way we're capable of playing, at least with the level of aggressiveness.
And Moore says that means creating more turnovers. The Eagles kick off 2017 with a home game on August the 31st against Kentucky Christian University. Because of the season-ending knee injury to starter Cole Mosier, the Kentucky football's offense needs a new left tackle, and one player believes he's that guy. Sophomore Landon Young says he expects to win the competition to replace Mosier.
You know, I'm coming out here working every single day to my best of my ability, even when Cole was here and everything, you know, when I was trying to do my best to get that starting position. But right now we're rotating three guys in for the end of fall camp, and that decision for the starter will be made after fall camp ends.
The 6'7", 305-pound Young says he's much more confident this season after gaining valuable experience last fall. The Kentucky football program could pick up a commitment for the 2018 class tonight. Four-star cornerback Stanley Garner is making his college decision tonight at 8 and will pick between Kentucky, Louisville, Clemson, Michigan, Alabama, and Tennessee. Kentucky is considered to be the heavy favorite to land Garner. He is ranked as the 30th best cornerback in the 2018 class by Rivals.com. One other note from college football, the Wall Street Journal is reporting that former Ole Miss head coach Hugh Freeze was meeting with escort services while on recruiting trips using the school's plane. Freeze resigned in July after Ole Miss officials said they found a, quote, concerning pattern in his phone calls from his school-provided phone, later revealed to be calls to escort services. Even though his team has yet to play a game this season, new Round County football coach Kelly Ford says the Vikings already believe they're winners. Ford notes that last Friday's 42-6 scrimmage rout of Nicholas County did nothing but boost the rebuilding Vikings' confidence as they head into the 2017 season.
Every time out, they're believing that they can win football games. And that's, you know, that's a big change from the previous years that, you know, they've been down on themselves so long and about a little self-confidence about themselves. So, I mean, the pride in football, is, I think, is back within those kids.
The football Vikings start the season Friday night at 7:30 at Morgan County. The Ashland Blazer football team is getting set to kick off the 2017 season this weekend. The Tomcats went 9-4 last season before falling in the Class 4A playoff quarterfinals, getting drilled by Johnson Central 51-0. Head coach Tony Love thinks this year's squad can top the success of last year's team.
We have a lot of the measurables that I think exceeded last year's team so far. I mean, I feel like we're a lot stronger. These kids, we played so many young kids last year. They're all back, and you know they're excited about doing it. They're going to produce pretty well this year.
Ashland travels to Harlan County on Saturday to open up the 2017 season. The Cincinnati Bengals' top draft pick is happy to finally be working out with the team. Wide receiver John Ross has been sidelined since undergoing off-season surgery on his shoulder. Ross practiced for the first time with the Bengals on Tuesday, but doesn't know if he'll play in Saturday's exhibition game against Kansas City. Ross says that's up to the medical staff.
I don't think it's imperative for me to, you know, just come back right now and just jump in and, you know, play Saturday. You know, I think it's more important for me to be ready for week one, you know, Not saying that I won't be playing Saturday or the next week or anything, but it's all upon them. And whenever they say I'm ready, I'm sure they'll take the right actions.
Saturday's game at Paul Brown Stadium starts at 7 p.m. Finally in sports, the Morehead State soccer team gets the 2017 regular season started on Friday when they visit Western Carolina. After losing both of its scrimmages last weekend by a combined score of 7-2, head coach Warren Lipka isn't pleased with his group.
Disappointed where we're at right now. Not where I want to be. Not where they want to be. We've got to start creating an attitude on this field that we're not going to lose.
MSU beat Western Carolina last season here in Morehead 2-1. That's it for sports. For Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Single game and season tickets are now available. Soccer hosts Northern Kentucky August 21st. Volleyball's Eagle Challenge is August 25th and August 26th. And football opens their schedule hosting Kentucky Christian on August 31st. For more information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office, at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the National Offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. equities closed higher, but backlash from the business community against President Trump kept gains in check. And the Dow Industrials did finish with a gain of 25.88 at 22,024.87. The S&P 500 was up 3.5 at 2468.11. And the NASDAQ Composite was up 12.1, finishing at 6345.11. New York Stock Exchange breadth was 17-11 in favor of winning stocks over losers. And, of course, earlier today, the president's strategic and policy forum disbanded. The disbanding came as backlash against Trump grew following remarks he has made following the violent protests over the weekend in Charlottesville, Virginia. Stocks briefly popped after the Federal Reserve released its minutes from the July 26th meeting. The minutes showed Fed officials were split over the path of future monetary policy. Some officials preached caution, while other officials raised concerns over delaying the normalization process. Investors largely expect the central bank to start unwinding its massive $4.5 trillion bond portfolio that it accumulated during while it was doing quantitative easing, and this easing or this unwinding is expected to start next month. And, of course, the Federal Reserve will meet in September, and many analysts feel that the unwinding of their balance sheet will be a hot topic at that meeting. U.S. Treasury yields themselves were lower after the release of the minutes, with a benchmark 10-year yield trading at 2.23% after yesterday closing closer to 2.3%. In the commodities markets, oil was down 1.6% at $46.78 a barrel. Gold was up 0.625% at $1,287.70 an ounce. In Europe, the Stock 600 index was up 0.7%. In Asia, stocks were mixed as the Nikkei was down about 0.1%, and the Hang Seng index was up almost 0.9%. Among Dow industrial stocks, your best performers were United Technologies and Home Depot. The worst performers were Goldman Sachs and ExxonMobil. In the S&P 500, your best performers were Freeport-McMoRan and Advance Auto Parts, and the worst performers were Hess and Noble Energy. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global up 38 cents at $61.53, Valvoline up 13 cents at $22.15, AEP up 51 cents at $72.03, CSX down 75 cents at $50.38, AK Steel up 19 cents at $5.43, and Marathon Petroleum was down 83 cents to finish at $51.06. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from the city of Morehead, a trail town community in eastern Kentucky and located near I-64 within the Daniel Boone National Forest. Home to Morehead State University, St. Clair Regional Medical Center, and Cave Run Lake, the city of Morehead supports community livability, economic prosperity, educational enrichment, cultural outreach, and recreational engagement. Office is located at 314 Bridge Street and by phone at 784-8505 or online at morehead-ky.gov.
That's going to do it for Mountain Edition. Today we had help from Chuck Mraz, Arlo Barnett, Braxton Howard, Sean Delaney, Jacob Lindberg, Chaz Jenkins, Kyle Blankenbuehler, and Brian Courtney. From WUKY, Alan Lytle. From KNN, Kentucky News Connection, Mary Sherman. And Kentucky News Network's Paul Miles, Ed Huckleberry, and Suzanne Duvall. Also, MSU's Adrian Swain. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, and translator W202BH in Inez. For Holly McClurkin and all of the MSPR news team, I'm Leanne Akers for Moorhead State Public Radio News. It's 5 o'clock.